Welcome back, and what is up, Jobber Nation? Welcome to another episode of Jobber Club Podcast with Vogel and the face who runs the place, Tyler Face. How's it going,
what up,
Face?
Man? So I had to change my hat like three times. I didn't know if I wanted it on or off. So
I know, I seen that for a second. I was like, wait, just like,
So
how's your Thanksgiving weekend, man?
Fantastic, fantastic.
That's great. That's great. We hope that all of Jobber Nation who celebrates Thanksgiving had a great one. We know we did. There's a lot of sports going on this past weekend with a lot of football being played and a lot of wrestling going on. So
when I tell you
for a good weekend.
Wait.
Right here.
All day, every day. Although that game made me cry a little bit,
die inside
a little bit, but
I mean that was Saturday for me, so
I mean they can't win a Thanksgiving game. But anyway, let's get back to wrestling.
it's a little sidebar, you know. Thanksgiving weekend means Survivor Series, and what a memorable Survivor Series it was. We had a lot of returns with Randy Orton returning to the ring, and some few returns that we'll mention a little later on. So, like we said, we'll get into some Survivor Series.
Let's get it.
But first, since we are talking about Survivor Series first, I'm going to ask you this question. I mean, I know we talked a little bit about it last week, but I'm just going to ask you, do you, now that this is like, I think the second or the third straight Survivor Games where they introduced the War Games situation, I've been seeing a lot of the internet wrestling community, along with myself, actually, miss the traditional 5v5 elimination match that they used to have back when we were.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Did you prefer that more than what you see now? I mean,
I didn't even think about that, but yes, I do.
I mean, we did have some two bangers back-to-back years with War Games, especially the men's side, with Sammy turning on Roman last year, and then this year with Randy Orton coming back at the very last second.
I was just going to quote him. He said, "Daddy's back."
Exactly. You know, they have put on some bangers, but I do miss the traditional 5v5. I think with the War Games, I mean, nothing against War Games. I mean, it is exciting to see who's coming in next, who's going to be in there, but it's just a lot of people in that ring. It's a lot to take
it's
in.
Too
it's
much.
A lot to pay attention
I felt like,
to.
Oh God. Oh, is that... I felt like it was too much to pay attention to.
At times, yeah. At times it can be. I mean, it almost seemed like a big ass, like Hell in a Cell match, you know, with anything going with weapon-wise, anything that you could think of. I like it with a traditional 5v5 because it added a more different dynamic to it, I guess you could say, because you didn't know if it was going to be a 1v3 situation coming down to the end. You know, it's Team Cena versus Team Batista, who's going to win type thing. You know, it's just one of those things. It just felt different. It felt like it meant more at the end of the day. Do you think if they keep on with the GMs, Nick Aldis and
bro, they're doing a fine-ass
Adam
job
Page,
what they're doing.
Do you think that we could actually see that traditional 5v5 come back and maybe have War Games be a separate premium live event?
Ooh, I like that. That'd be
because
super cool, you could have
Oh, go ahead, man.
You could have like the first day of the War Games as the OG 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. You have the second day of what they just did, which was it was weird as fuck to even watch.
But here's what I'm thinking. I mean, yeah, we have WrestleMania Backlash, which is, you know, a decent pay-per-view. I'm not knocking it whatsoever. But what would you feel about having it instead of being WrestleMania Backlash, just take that out and just rename it WrestleMania War Games? Because WrestleMania is the time of season where a lot of rivalries are just starting, too. A lot of feuds are just taking off.
I could do that. I could run with that. Especially
if you have a feud, too, that's just ending, you can have it in a War Games style match and just say, screw it, we're just going to end a whole bunch of feuds right here and right there. Starts fresh off the new season, you know, everybody's getting drafted usually anyways at the end of Mania season, so it'll just work out, I think, personally. But I mean, then again, that's why we're not paid the big bucks to think like that.
I mean, there's a few different storylines that I have to throw out here in a little bit. Okay, so this is me from the other day. Did I send you the podcast that I listened to?
Yes, I do believe so. Yeah, I have that to
it
check
that
one out. Yeah,
with Tommy Dreamer.
Yep. Oh yeah, Ray. Yeah. House of Hardcore, I think it's called, isn't it?
When I say, man, they opened up my brain a little bit more to what could possibly happen. I like it. I like it. So I think I'm gonna run. They gave like three or four different lines I could run with, mm-hmm. but I think I'm gonna run with either one or two of them.
All right, yeah, we'll probably get into that right after our Survivor Series talk. So yeah, we'll definitely get into those storylines. But yeah, let's just kick off Survivor Series. We kicked off with the women's war game match, as we've seen Team Bianca defeat Team Damage Control. And a match that seen Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair finally bury their personal hatchets towards each other and embrace in a hug towards the end of the match.
You already knew that they were going to win. Like, you should have known.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we both ended up picking Team Bianca that night. Yeah. No. You picked Team Bianca. I think I picked Team Damage Control, I think, for some reason, because I didn't think that they were going to have
Kairi Sane. No, I think that's the other way.
Debut match. Oh, I might have been. I can't remember.
I took Damage Control because I like Damage Control.
But, yeah, that match was pretty decent. I mean, they had some really good spots. I think the most memorable spot of the night was when Io Sky put the trash can over her and
dove into the crowd.
That was pretty crazy. That was pretty cool. Because you're not used to seeing
what is wrong with this girl.
But it's like you're not even used to seeing someone put a trash can on themselves and use it as like a weapon. Usually it's someone putting a trash can over you and beating the crap out of you with the kendo stick.
Yeah. Very true.
And I like how we could possibly still see the storyline of Bayley being kicked out of Damage Control in the future.
Yes.
We've all seen it in the past. She's cost matches before. She set up matches that she had no business setting up before. And she ended up taking the loss in this match, even though she performed really well in this match, especially pushing Kairi Sane out of the way from getting speared from Charlotte Flair, which could have been really costly right there.
Well, then she could use that as ammo to be like, yo, I saved your ass, so.
Yeah, and then again, it's like she did end up losing the match. And, you know, of course, any heel-type faction doesn't like losing, so they're going to try to probably cut out the weakest link, and right now it seems to be Bayley.
This is true.
And plus, I think right now we've seen Bayley as a heel for, like, the longest time. I think we're going on, like, 4 or 5 years straight of her just being a heel. It would be nice to see her change it up a little bit and become a face again, since we haven't really seen it in a very long time.
Yeah, this is very true.
And it could possibly set up something at Mania between Bayley and Io Sky, possibly for that women's championship.
Wait a minute. I don't know if I sent you it or not. I just screenshotted it. Oh, wait. Yeah. I'm going to send you something, but I could see this going on.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I was thinking, I know that they said backstage when this match happened on the pre-show that, Team Bianca ended up winning the challenge, which was to have your competitor, your last entrance pretty much in that match. You get the last entry in it. That didn't make really much sense to me because, you know, usually that goes towards the heel team because, you know, it's the bad guys. The bad guys always have that advantage somehow, some way. But the way they booked it actually paid off pretty well, in my opinion, because you ended up having the faces win. But it just seems like everybody is, I'm just wondering where everybody in that women's match goes from here, because you have Bianca Belair that's going to be always challenging for that women's championship. You got Charlotte that's always in the picture, Becky that's always in the picture. Then you have the odd game out with Shotzi. Where does Shotzi go from here?
Well, why don't they make another a women's intercontinental championship belt
or something, you know, or some type of other belt? You know, they already have that one. They already have the world women's championship with Rhea. Maybe she challenges for that, but I think the one
Nah.
that deserved it, I think honestly, the one that deserved that push a little bit more than Shotzi was Zelina Vega. I mean, she's been doing really good work. She's been doing the job lately. She's been having decent matches. And plus, on top of that, she's a decent manager at the same time. Why not showcase her abilities a little bit more?
This is true.
I mean, we've already seen it down in TNA, how she was decent down there as a singles competitor. So why not give her that ability?
This is
I'm just
very true.
taking a look at what you sent me real quick.
Well, then I'm gonna tease the audience a little bit real quick.
All right, you go right ahead. Oh
If
yeah, I
I
can see these matches happen. Yeah, I can see some of
figure
these
out
matches happening.
which screen it is. Wait, what? What's that? Oh no. Oh, I wonder what that is. What's that? What was
Oh,
that?
I don't know. That looked like some subliminal messaging
I
right
don't know, man.
there.
I don't know.
The next match of the night, we've seen Gunther retain his Intercontinental Championship against The Miz. I think we both picked Gunther in that situation.
Yeah, I already knew the Miz. Just like
Yeah.
what I understand the history behind the belt, but like, nah, bro, you weren't taking that.
Especially since the history kind of went downhill for a minute too. It seemed like after The Miz lost it, it still held up a little bit, but then it took a nosedive as soon as it seemed like the belt changed designs. It took like a deep nosedive, in
Oh
my
yes, I
opinion.
agree. I 100% agree with that.
I mean, that belt that was not the original, but I mean, it was the damn near perfect, you know? And then you end up changing it to the trash that it is now. You needed to reestablish it.
Right.
And I think they're doing a good job with Gunther. And this match honestly surprised me. I think Gunther really underestimated The Miz early on. The Miz was taking it to him pretty early. They were having a chop fest, and it ended up becoming Gunther overcoming some diversity there, especially when The Miz did a skull crushing finale and try and played a little dirty there for a minute. I think it added a little bit more suspense to the match,
Yes, it did. It did.
Especially since the skull crushing finale used to be the end all be all for the longest time when the Miz was defending the Intercontinental Championship. And it definitely had you question yourself for a minute, is Gunther going to lose this? But
It
ultimately,
actually
Gunther.
did, and I haven't. No, I apologize for cutting you
Oh,
off.
you're all right.
I was just like, okay, so who's actually gonna win here?
Yeah, it gave you that
Oh, it
sense of
gave me
false
that
hope in a
little,
way. Yeah, it's like, oh, we're gonna give the Miz it. Oh, nope, we're reeling it back in, type thing. Almost got it, Miz. But ultimately, Gunther ended up winning by submission by putting the Miz in a half Boston crab, making the A-lister tap out.
Yep.
Like we said, we all knew that going into this match, the Miz wanted this championship. He wanted it bad. But where do you see this going for the Miz? Do you think this
It's over.
is his last one? He's going back to the end of the line. Gunther's going to be challenging someone else, but it just seems like now, especially with Gunther really having no direction, really. I mean, I know he's your longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time now, but it seems like he's just defending it. Like Roman's just defending his unified championship, It seems like they're just
Okay, I'm so
trying
tired of
to,
him having both.
but it's getting to the point where I think that they're just feeding him now just to boost up his defenses.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like anybody is qualified or make it look believable winning this championship from him. But if you had to fantasy book it, who would take the belt off of Gunther?
For a USA title.
No, for Intercontinental.
Yeah, oh shit, oh man.
And that is on Monday Night Raw.
Like as in like the
That's where
roster.
that, yeah, that's on, yeah, because the
No,
United
like
States is on
today's
SmackDown.
roster.
Yeah,
I
today's
my
roster.
brain said the whole
No,
roster, so I was like flipping through.
just today's roster, like right
Hmm.
now on Monday Night Raw. I don't see anybody really.
No.
I mean, unless they have CM Punk debut on Raw, but why would you give him the
No.
Intercontinental? Why would you bring him back just to be a mid-card champion? But yeah, and especially the way Gunther's making that belt look right now, I think we have better odds of Gunther having to vacate it due to injury than him actually losing it straight out.
Yes, and you know what? I agree with that. That'll make a little more sense than losing it straight out.
Yeah, because I don't see, like I said, anybody unless they do the superstar shake up and have him go to SmackDown and bring that to SmackDown and have the United States on Raw. I don't see it happening. Survivor Series War Games next match seen Santos Escobar defeat Dragon Lee in a match that was a little on the shorter side. On this one, we actually didn't have the updated match card right away, so we had it as Santos Escobar versus Carlito. Carlito was
True.
unable to perform and due to injury, so Dragon Lee was booked instead. I know I picked Santos in that match regardless. Santos did end up coming away with the win, but I didn't like how short the match was because, I mean, I get it. You have two war game style matches that are going to take about 30, 35 minutes a piece, and you got to fit in all these other matches. But it just seemed like it didn't give us enough time to see what Dragon Lee could showcase in the situation. I know Dragon Lee is one of the younger stars in WWE right now. I think he's only like in his mid-20s, and
Young Buck.
he's pretty much called the future of Lucha Libre right now. That's how good he is. And for him to lose in like 7 minutes and 40 seconds, I think was the official time of the match. Just seemed like it was a little too short. You know, I know I understand that he's probably on NXT. He's on NXT every now and then. I don't think he's really on the main roster too much right now, but it would give him more television time to build the audience and to build a fan base to get himself out there. But so far from what I've seen in that match, it was definitely a decent match, and it definitely showcases that Santos or Dragon Lee could possibly be the face going forward with the company. Even though Santos is almost 40 years old, he could still carry it on his back for a little bit if need be.
This is very true.
But I hope that we get to see a little bit more of these Santos Escobar versus Dragon Lee matches in the future.
Yeah, that'd be pretty dope.
Especially, you know, rebooked in a different circumstances where they have a little bit more time to develop a decent match. I think honestly, it's probably going to be a better match than it would have been if it was Escobar versus Carlito. I mean, Carlito, no disrespect to him, but he looked really sluggish in his last singles match that he was out there.
You know what? I agree with you there. And I don't know why I just that little second, those 2 little seconds to respond.
Oh man, you're all good, man. You're all good. But yeah, Dragon Lee, he's newly, well, not really newly signed. He's been with the company for over a year now. But you know, are you a fan of how short that match was, given the fact of the circumstances? Do you think that it, or would you like the match to have been longer to showcase the move sets to build that fan base for him? Or do you think it was perfect given Santos's recent heel change that they want to try to make him a dominant heel?
Man, I don't know.
I mean,
He's
honestly,
still new to me, so like
exactly.
I'm trying to pay attention to new guys and old guys. But I mean, he could eventually be a main eventer.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those situations where, I mean, right now, especially with Triple H in charge of booking, I think anybody's going to take an opportunity that they can right now, especially if the ones who haven't been on TV as of late, they're going to jump at anything just to get their name back out there and just to make themselves relevant again. And
Yes, they are.
I think that's what's really helping Triple H in his new in this new booking situation that he's in.
Yeah, I actually like how he's taken over
Oh
for
yeah, I mean
now,
it's
for now.
yeah, for now. It's definitely being a little slow, but I mean you can't rush it, everything, you know. If you're gonna rush it, it's gonna turn into complete dog shit and like Vince is running it all over again. Next match of the night, we seen the Women's World Championship was on the line as we seen Rhea Ripley retain her championship against
That was a
Zoe
good fight.
Stark. That
That was a pretty decent fight.
Honestly, it was. It was, and I really surprised me. Zoe Stark was actually able to handle her own, especially in the physicality aspect of Rhea Ripley. But then again, for me, it almost seemed like a copy and paste match of how the Gunther versus Miz match was, especially with Zoe Stark jumping out onto an early offensive lead against Rhea.
Yeah.
And Rhea kind of being taken back by it. It just seemed like it was a copy and paste, but I didn't mind it because I still like the outcome of it. I think we both had Rhea retaining.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't think we had her retaining and expecting it to be that difficult for her to retain.
Yeah, no, I thought it was going to be like super easy. Like, okay,
we
ahead and you're going down.
Exactly. We probably thought this was probably going to be the shortest match of the night, not the Santos Escobar versus Dragon Lee match. But I'm not eating my own words. I still do believe that Raquel Rodriguez would have been the better fit in the match. But I think how we're going to judge this match for Zoe Stark is how she's booked going forward by Triple H. If Triple H still believes in her and still wants to give her that push. And I think her losing that match might have actually helped her out in getting that loss and help get more fans to be behind her and maybe make another run at that championship. If not, make a run at Io Sky's championship or whatever, you know, just be in a title picture.
Yes.
I think absolutely. That really helped her out. And it actually adds another woman in the women's locker room that could be a threat for a championship and be that main eventer. I think we are also in the same situation as Gunther's Intercontinental Championship run. I don't think there's really anybody who can beat Rhea Ripley for that World Women's Championship.
Nah, right now. Nope.
And like I said the episode before, I think the day that she loses it is the day that the Judgment Day breaks up. Because she's like the end all be all for the Judgment Day. She is the leader right now.
Yeah.
Whether anybody wants to admit it or not, she's the one that's pulling the strings backstage. Oh yeah, she is. She is. And I mean, honestly, if they do have someone to win it, I don't know who takes that from her. I don't think there's anybody as physical as her right now. And I don't see it switching hands for a very long time, at least until Judgment Day is still around.
This is very true because I was thinking, who would team up with Rhea Ripley? You know, like you got the Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, like the couples. Who would she go with? But
I think it'd probably be someone in Judgment Day. I mean, it'd be Dirty Dom because of the, you know, the old antics that they used to have with Mommy and Dom, or it could be. Or it could be either Finn Balor or Damian Priest. I mean, I would imagine it'd be one of those from the Judgment Day, honestly. Or even Drew McIntyre on a long shot.
This is very true. Oh wow.
Those and speaking speaking of Drew McIntyre and the rest of Judgment Day, it brings us to the main event of Survivor Series War Games, which seen Team Cody defeat the Judgment Day.
Are we going to break this down by entry?
No, we're just going to we can just talk about it. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, cuz
we break it down. I don't like how long wasn't it like 5 or 6 minutes or something?
Yeah, it was about 5 minutes. It's almost like the same as like the Elimination Chamber when the pod doors open. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've been a more traditional 5v5 guy.
Or even the Elimination Chamber. I like that.
That's definitely one of my favorite pay-per-view events because it adds so much more mystery of who's selected in the pod doors.
Who,
and all that.
Somebody slammed, I think it was Brock Lesnar, slammed through. He actually broke through one of the doors.
Yeah.
He slammed Drew McIntyre, picked him up, and just like fucking manhandled him through one. I'm just like, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely one of my favorite pay-per-view events and favorite types of matches. We've seen one surprise return of the night, and that was with R-Truth being backstage. R-Truth was back in the WWE. We needed that comedic relief every now and then. Missed R-Truth, you know? And we were teased all night about if Randy Orton was going to show up and be part of Survivor Series since he was not in the locker room. when the pay-per-view kicked off, and that's when
right.
Arena's chants start chanting CM Punk. And people were thinking at that point in time, CM Punk might be taking Randy Orton's spot if Randy Orton really wasn't at the arena. But as the match was finishing, Orton came out as the last member of Team Rhodes, and the arena popped big time for him. I'm glad to see Randy back in the WWE, back in the
squared
circle.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially after not knowing if he was going to come back or not, especially with the surgery and all that. I think that it was really nice to see him get that pop, and you could tell that he was really energetic, really excited to get back into the ring as he was making his way down to the ring. And it just seemed like he was like a little kid again.
Do you think we would get shadow banned if I play something?
No, we won't give a shadow ban. We'll be all right. We'll be all right. We're
hold on.
We can't get sent to the Shadow Realm.
there's an ad. Hold on.
All right, you're good, man.
No,
you're good.
I don't want that.
But yeah, I mean, it was definitely a really big pop seeing him come back like that.
Wait, you can't hear that, can you?
No, I can't.
Well, shit. I hear it, but you don't.
No, I don't hear it. No, they might hear it. I don't know. I can't hear it.
Shit, that did not work the way I planned it to.
But yeah, going into this match, I mean, it was definitely a lot of anticipation to see who was going to win this match, if it was going to be the faces or if it was going to be heels. Unlike the women's war game match, I was glad that the face team actually won. I think it actually helps build up Cody going forward against Roman Reigns and going to that road to WrestleMania.
Just tell me when. You know what I'm talking about. Just tell me when.
All right. I got you. But yeah, I was definitely glad. I think it helps build that Cody versus Roman storyline going to Mania. And I think for the second straight year in a row, Creative actually did a really good job with this men's final match. Especially early on when Priest and McIntyre were staring down each other inside the ring, not really trusting one another, but they're on the same team. You know, it still gave you that sense of, hey, could McIntyre really fuck this up for the Judgment Day by taking one of them out because he just doesn't like them, even though he is a heel himself? But I think the biggest thing that we had to talk about in this main event actually came not during the match, but came at the end of the match when Cody was celebrating. It's when Team Cody was celebrating, and next thing you know, we hear Living Colors, Cult of Personality.
I caught it.
That is right. CM Punk is made his WWE
Mother Truck and
return
Punk
at WWE Survivor Series.
Guys, I'm a giant CM Punk fan. Always been, always will be. And I'm a big Paul Heyman guy, too. So, like,
you know who else was a big Paul Heyman guy? Someone that said that he was going to retire if CM Punk returned to WWE, and
Mr.
that is none other than Ryback.
Mr. Ryback, I did see that actually.
I wasn't that stupid to put my career on the line and said I was going to retire from podcasting.
Yeah, we're not doing that, but
yeah, no.
CM Punk is back.
But that is what we are talking about now, since that is the hottest thing that came out of Survivor Series. Overall, a Survivor Series as great.
How many months back did I call that?
Probably for about a good month now. Because that's about how long he's been gone from AEW. It's about 2 months now. So
I already knew he was coming back. I just didn't exactly know when.
Exactly. But yeah, since that's Survivor Series, I think that was probably one of the better Survivor Series that we've seen in a long time. Overall, I think it was a really decent. I think I'd give it a B+, A-, honestly. I mean, we had some shorter matches, but I mean, I understand because we did have two long-ass War Games matches, so I'm not mad about those.
Yeah.
The only match I think I would have made just a little longer, like I said, was that Santos Escobar match.
Okay.
Made it probably at least 10
minutes.
Refresh
me why they have two rings in War Games, because I don't remember. Like,
it's just something that Dusty Rhodes created back in the NWA days. The American Dream.
I apparently
yeah,
didn't watching enough NWA then.
Well, it was back in like the '80s, I think it was created, so none of us were still alive for that.
No, that's true.
I mean, but it's pretty much just another aspect of it, because you know it gets crowded in one ring with all those weapons and things of that nature and all those people.
But I want, oh, what the hell, the Tornado Tag Team. I'm looking for the name
Steel
of
Cage
it.
Match.
Yes, yes, that works. That works.
I mean, hey, that always worked too. I mean, but
you remember that old school game?
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. I remember No Mercy and all that. I mean, come on now. What do you take me for? But yeah, that's but the CM Punk returning to WWE is a much long wait for WWE fans who don't really follow any other promotions to see him back in the WWE for the first time in like what, 13 years almost or something like that.
Yeah, hell froze over.
Exactly. And I know a lot of you may say that I'm an AEW fanboy, and of course that I didn't like it. I'm not saying that I didn't like it, because I do like AEW. I mean, I like WWE also. But I'm just going to say that I didn't like it because the fact that his greatest promo ever, the pipe bomb, and all this bad mouthing he did towards WWE in the past years since his departure, makes it a little, I guess it makes it a little hard for me to believe that he's back with the company. You know, I think, honestly, like he said this past Monday Night Raw, I know we're not talking about Raw or anything like that for this episode, but I just wanted to bring this up. He said that he's not there to make friends. He's there for a paycheck.
But it could go both ways, bro. I listened to the show I sent you. They even broke that shit down, and like it made me like, ah, okay, I see you. You here to teach, but you're not here to make friends. You here to like, hey, I'm collecting that dough.
Exactly.
I'm not mad at him.
But then again, it's like I felt like with AEW, he knew what he was getting into when he signed in, that he knew that these guys were a lot of them were on the younger side, and that he would have to try to put over some of these guys, that he'd be working with young talent like Jack Perry that probably are a little bit more extreme than he's used to, with wanting to use real glass instead of the fake glass, and having that altercation backstage and having those altercations with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. It honestly makes me wonder in a way. I mean, I know I'm putting on probably the tin hat and the conspiracy theory stuff, but it just makes me question, did he sign with AEW just to be like a stepping stone for him to get in the WWE?
That's a little,
you
cold.
Know, I mean, I'm just saying, because he wanted to get back into the industry. And it seems like when he came to AEW, he had this new chip on his shoulder that we really haven't seen with CM Punk in a really, really long time. And then adding the fuel with, like I said, with the Elite and Kenny Omega, and then him and Jack Perry, just added more to the fuel. And I think that he was having a hard time separating what he wanted to be as a work from what he was having as personal beef in the back, and you know, with other people.
Right.
But it's also been reported by Fightful's Sean Sap Ross that he believes in CM Punk's new WWE contract, that he will be having behavioral clauses in his contract to
right
hopefully
back,
stop him
you.
From doing things like he did in AEW regarding the backstage fights and all that. If that is true, do you think Punk will quote unquote behave more under WWE, or do you think they could use this towards possibly a storyline aspect and make Punk almost like he was with his Straight Edge Society persona, where he's gonna be like this guy that wants to follow, like wants to, you know, make his own rules, but yet he wants to stand out type thing.
I like the Straight Edge Society. That was one of my favorite segments ever.
Yes. So I think they could be possibly maybe going towards a route towards that. But if you're WWE too, I mean, you got to figure out what you want to bring him back as. If you want to bring him back as a face, or if you want to bring him
heel.
Back as a heel.
Heel.
Yeah.
Because
I think the way he went out in AEW, I think fans remember that. and he was kind of a heel towards his end of his AEW days. So I think that they're going to bring him back as a heel, and I think he could start something probably with Seth Rollins, since they kind of have a real life beef together, you know?
This is very absolutely true. Bring him back as a heel. Let him do like a regurgitated version of the straight edge society, because, you know, all the pill heads, all the users and shit, they're all getting clean now. So yep. Why not bring that back? Why not use it? You know what I mean? The so-called no straight edge. Yeah, I don't know.
But I think we mentioned this the other day when you were on Twitch. You know, what superstar do you think they're gonna kill their push to make CM Punk part get in the main event status again?
Man.
Because I mean, if you look at it, like Miz, I said, Drew,
kill him, like kill him.
Well, I mean, for a while, and I think it depends on what brand you want CM Punk to come back to first. You
motherfucking Raw, all day Raw.
So if you're coming back as Raw, I mean, you have Drew McIntyre, who's going to probably take some personal time off due to contract renegotiations, hopefully for him. And he does have a personal matter with a death in his family.
Yeah, you said about that.
I think he is going to be taking some time off. I think that will probably be one of the pushes that probably get killed during that time. And I think that could possibly set up a feud with him and Seth Rollins, since that's where Drew McIntyre was at one point in time, was challenging Seth Rollins for that World Heavyweight Championship.
This is absolutely true.
And if he goes to SmackDown, I see it being LA Knight's push getting killed. I don't think they're going to kill Cody's push to be fighting against Roman.
I get the whole storyline thing. I really do. Or the finish the story. I 100% get it. But finish it already. I'm sorry, but finish it already.
Oh, did you see that Roman Reigns' next upcoming matches have been released?
Yes, I seen that, but I did not screenshot it, and I was.
I forgot. I think it was like December, like the week before Christmas. I think he's set.
To yeah, there's like back. One or two matches that he's coming back
mm-hmm. for, and like, then he's what the yeah, fuck? Yeah. Then he's coming back, and then he'll be back in time for the Rumble in January also. So it's good to see him back after taking some time off, and hopefully he's not rushing back. I thought he would be for sure coming back at the start of the year. I didn't think he was gonna come back this early, so. Nice to see him coming back soon. So, Face, you said that you have some storylines that you could be seeing for the foreseeable future.
I was listening to the show I sent you. Guys, we no way, no how, whatever. I don't get paid to say this, but this podcast I listened to was amazing.
Podcast is called Busted Open, if anybody wants to take a look at it.
I was getting ready to pop that up. Thank you, man.
So, oh, you're welcome.
I feel like he could either take it the Seth Rollins way with CM Punk, or even the Roman Reigns way, because you got that Mark Heyman right there in the middle. Guy over his shoulder.
Paul Heyman, yep.
And Paul Heyman could always switch sides, be like, yo, I've been a ride or die Punk guy forever.
Well, not just that, but we've seen that before when I can't remember if it was SummerSlam. Yeah, I think it was SummerSlam or WrestleMania. Correct me if I'm wrong. It was at Madison Square Garden. I do believe the main event was Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg. And both guys were on their way. I think Brock was on his way out of the company, and the title was going to switch hands to Goldberg. Yes. And Paul Heyman ended up turning on Brock Lesnar that match. I mean, we could possibly see the same thing happen if it was going to be Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk. I mean, Paul Heyman's loyalty really doesn't lie with anyone. If you're a Paul Heyman guy at one point in time, he's going to fuck with you.
I'm always a Paul Heyman guy. That's my guy.
He's going to be with you. I mean, we seen it that one time when he turned on Roman and joined back with Brock Lesnar for a minute.
Yeah, for all of about 30 seconds.
Yeah, but I mean, it still happened. He has more face and heel turns than the Big Show does.
There's also another storyline they could go run with. I keep seeing shit that AJ Lee comes back. And I really liked her. I liked her. She was just cool.
Yeah, she wasn't too bad.
And then, so you get CM Punk and AJ Lee back, then them two are going to go versus Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch at Mania.
Yeah, kind of like what we've seen a few years back with Nikki Bella, John Cena versus Maurice and Miz.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind that. I mean, I think WWE in the last handful of years has really prided itself in the mixed tag team matches.
So then
especially
bring it
with
back.
Them.
They yeah, don't do it very often. Bring it back on Raw, SmackDown, weekly shows. Bring it back.
Yeah, they used to have like that little tournament. Remember that a few years back before COVID happened? It used to be advertised on YouTube. I think it was right after SmackDown. They went to YouTube and you could watch the mixed tag team tournament match. And they had the winners of that. They gave a perk to it. The winners of that would enter in at number 30 for the Royal Rumble. And that was the prize. Whoever won it, the guy that was, you know, part of the tag team got the men's 30th spot. The woman got the woman's 30th spot. I mean, it gave an incentive too. So, I mean,
you bring that shit back.
Yeah, they definitely do.
I miss that.
They definitely do. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely good matches. I mean, especially when you get the right tag team pairings, and especially when you have two people, you know, well, both people are, you know, all four of them, they're couples, you know, so they know each other. So it's even better. It adds to the storyline even more. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing any of those. I mean, my biggest fear now is going forward with, like, what you said, having it be CM Punk versus Roman. I think it could possibly, I mean, I'm not saying that
but
it will.
I'm just saying it could go both storylines, but I think I'm going to go with the Roman Reigns because
I
feel like I think that's top dog. He's been top dog for how many years? Punk said, I'm here to take you out. I'm here to knock you down a level, boy.
And not just that, but it's like I'm just scared that for Mania, since CM Punk is back, that they're going to do like what they've been doing and make it a fatal three-way. That's what I don't want.
That's I don't want to say that because I will regret that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we don't know what their booking situation. I mean, they love the fatal three-way.
I will regret that if I say that because
I mean this. Especially, I mean, didn't we have it at, like, what, WrestleMania? I can't remember. I think it was the WrestleMania. That of the Royal Rumble one those years. It was with the Fatal 3-Way between Daniel Bryan, Edge, and Roman Reigns for the championship, where Roman Reigns defeated both of them and pinned them both at the same time.
Yes, and that was stupid. That
yeah,
was
it
so
was.
Stupid.
It was.
I didn't care
it was.
That.
And I just, like I said, I just hope that that's not what it comes down to is something like that, because I think you're going to lose a lot of fans.
You're
going to
lose
me
as a, you're going to, I'm still, we're going to still do the show, but I'm going to be, you're going to lose me as a big fan. I'm just going to be like,
Face is like, well, my contract of being a WWE fan is about ready to expire. I am open to negotiations for TNA. Let's go.
Yeah, honestly, like, hey, I've been jumping back and forth from companies for years.
I mean, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan because you have more promotions than this WWE. I mean, TNA is making some of an impact. Well, TNA is starting to come back up a little bit. They're going to be rebranding back to TNA starting January 1st, you know, I think it is. So you're going to see that back up again. NWA, still a little hit and miss, but you still got New Japan Pro Wrestling. You got everything. And it's just people.
I guess I'm not a real wrestling fan. So where do I watch New Japan Wrestling? Because
I mostly catch a lot of it on YouTube, because they have like their own streaming services. But you have to wake up at like real early in the morning to catch their stuff because it's the time differential. I do believe that they are also replayed on Access, that TV station, I do believe.
I don't have cable.
Yeah, well, me neither. So, I mean, I've heard that's where it's replayed at. And I think there's also a channel in the Roku store or whatever, the Roku apps or whatever that also has it that replaced some of the old matches. But they're definitely good. It's definitely good. Good to check out. The fans are definitely a lot more different. There's no turnbuckles over there, and it's a lot more different than what we're used to. But it's still decent matches. There's some good matches that you probably want to check out. I could probably send to you that happened in the past.
Oh, dude, absolutely. Dude, I will be all
I think that. I think a few of them have to do with Jon Moxley when he actually returned and became Jon Moxley again after he got released from WWE, where he took on Lance Archer for the IWGP United States Championship, and then when he retained it against Juice Robinson, those are some pretty good matches too.
Send those to me. I'm gonna give those a oh, yeah. because I want to.
Yeah, definitely will.
Getting deeper.
I definitely will. And then, you know. Oh yeah, and then like I said too, I mean Pluto TV, man, they also have like the old school TNA episodes, and they mix in a little bit of new stuff in there too.
I want to rewatch the. What was it? The Aces and Eights clip.
Oh, they sometimes have those on there, dude. They sometimes have those.
That
on
was
there.
Such a good storyline. I love
it. Dude, it was one of the best storyline to come out of TNA, honestly.
Because I wanted one of those cuts. I actually have a cut. I just don't have anything on it. And I wanted all of that shit on there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely, dude. I mean, it was definitely a cool storyline, to say the least. But yeah, that was WWE's Survivor Series War Games for 2023. The next pay-per-view event for WWE will be the Royal Rumble in January.
Oh shit.
Moving on to AEW. They had two of their shows, Rampage and Collision, take place this Saturday as a double package show. Due to scheduling issues with TNT because of other sports that were being broadcasted at those time slots. Unfortunately, for I think the third straight month in a row, Collision was going against WWE's premium live event, so it did not draw in the viewers due to the WWE having Saturday pay-per-view events for the past few months.
Hey, but across you lose some.
I mean, exactly. Across the 3-hour show, there were a few matches that were of note, mostly going on in the Continental Classic, which is a tournament that they are having to crown the first ever AEW Continental Champion. We also seen Shibata looking to defend his Ring of Honor Pure Championship against Wheeler Yuta, and instead of going over, like I said, all 9 matches on this card, we're just going to go over a few select of them. Nothing too big happening this weekend on the double show of Rampage and Collision, but like I said, here's some of the matches that I thought were pretty decent. We've seen Wheeler Yuta win the Ring of Honor Pure Championship after beating Shibata. The ending of this match was really, I think, really cemented Wheeler Yuta's heel run, especially since he's teamed up with the Blackpool Combat Club. It shows that he has this mean streak in him now, especially since he won it by giving 2 low blows and a DDT.
Damn.
I don't know about you, but I mean, especially since it's a Ring of Honor championship. I mean, back in my day, when I was watching Ring of Honor.
Damn, bro, sound like you're 50.
Dude, I mean, when we were young, Ring of Honor was just starting. I mean,
it really was, though.
You could watch that stuff on the local news channel at like 10 o'clock in the morning and watch and watch Kevin Steen, who's Kevin Owens now. Watch Tyler Black, who's Seth Rollins. We watched Finn Balor. We watched all these guys growing up, Samoa Joe. And we all seen him shake hands and be respectful. But to see someone like Wheeler Yuta, who's being a heel, being totally disrespectful to win a Ring of Honor championship, kind of throws a little insult to injury to Ring of Honor as a whole. That's what it is. But, I mean, I don't like it that it switched hands like that. I mean, not just because of that aspect, but to have it end on a low blow. No not even being disqualified or anything like that. I
mean, oh, absolutely.
I think I would have liked to see it in it even switch hands, even if it, like, if it was like a dirty pen, you know, where he had his feet on the ropes and the ref didn't see it, you know, to get the leverage. I would have been more happy with that rather than having it be two low blows.
Right. Yeah, I never really liked the low blow thing. Like, I've been hitting the balls too many times, so I'm not going to lie.
Have PTSD every single time you see it.
Man, my kid got hit the other day because they were wrestling, and I said, bud, you got to just walk it off.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you can't, though. Sometimes it just hurts too much.
I've been sack tap a few times, and God damn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It definitely hurts. Are it you definitely sleeping, hurts. Kitchen? But, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not. I mean, if it was any other match, I don't think I really had a problem with it ending the way it did. But it being a championship match like that, I think really, really made it even worse.
Well,
but are you fine with it ending the way it did to progress Wheeler Yuta and his heel status and being a top heel of a company like this? Not being a top heel, but being pretty much contending to be a top heel.
I don't know.
Because, I mean,
I like that. Because you don't get a lot of heels anymore because you got to like tiptoe around what you can say and what you can't. So it's hard to be a heel now. You know what
I
mean?
It definitely is. It definitely is. I mean, because you got, like you said, you not only can you tiptoe about what you can do and what you can say, but it's also the fact of, you know, you're not trying to emulate everybody that came before you that was a heel. You're not trying to, you're trying to be your own self, but yet you're trying to give something that people can relate to. And I think that it's even more harder now because you have to have like that art like MJF does, where
dude,
he doesn't
okay.
really ever break kayfabe.
I'm not gonna lie, I don't really care for him. He's kind of a douche. He reminds me of them high school douchebags.
That's what he's supposed to be. Yeah. That's like his own whole entire persona.
Now, if he was out of character, was a dope dude, fuck yeah, then I would be like, I get that. That's cool as fuck, whatever. But I don't know.
Dude, you know why? Because he doesn't. He's
give a fuck.
he's one of the, like, the old school. You know how Undertaker, when he would go out in public before he retired. He always had like that kayfabe. He never broke that kayfabe. He never smiled, laughed, joked around, anything like that because he was serious. What you saw on TV is what you got outside of the ring, unless you were drinking with him at the hotel and part of the locker room. But when he was out in public, he never broke kayfabe. That's what MJF is doing with his persona right now. He never breaks kayfabe. I think the only time that we've really seen him break kayfabe is that picture that's floating around the internet of him and I think it's what's his name? Zac Efron. And Zac Efron's posing with the AEW championship. On the set of Iron Claw. I think that's the only time that you've really seen him break
kayfabe.
I actually
just seen that last night at work.
Dude, and MJF looks so freaking weird with a wig on like that.
I'm intrigued to watch this new show.
Oh yeah, yeah, I am
because
too.
There's not many wrestling shows, and there's two people that I really like. And no, I don't like Zac Efron from High School Musical. Okay, I like
hey,
him,
we're
but not in
we're
those
all
movies.
We're all in this together, man. Oh man, we start breaking out a musical number. too bad our listeners on Spotify can't see this.
Oh god. How do we make that video? That's the next goal.
Oh, I know how to do that, man. I can put them on there. But yeah, another match that happened on that double show was Claudio Castagnoli defeating Daniel Garcia, also in the Continental Classic. This match was I think in this match, even though Daniel Garcia lost, he showed that he could be someone that AEW can kind of lean on going forward. Not only because of his stupid like little dance thing that's been catching on with the audience that he does, and been getting really big pops whenever he does it, but also in his in-ring ability to keep up with even veterans of this day and age with like Claudio. He's been able to do it against him. He's been doing it against like Moxley. He's been, you know, yeah, he's been getting his ass whooped, but he's been learning. Exactly. He can keep up. And I feel like down the road, he can possibly get a push towards one of those championships. I mean, not necessarily the Continental Championship that they're introducing, but maybe the TNT Championship. Start him off small and then work his way up, like we've been saying a lot with some of these younger wrestlers. But I do believe that he does need a push like that, because the only time that we've really seen him showcased was when he was part of like a faction, like the Jericho Appreciation Society, before that blew up. Right. But I think that he really needs to be showcased as a singles competitor rather than part of a group, because I think that's where he succeeds. And I think that's what we saw early on when he was debuting in AEW, and they kind of went away from that and made him part of, you know, a faction where he didn't really want to be starting off.
Absolutely.
And I think with the proper booking going forward, not saying that AEW has been known to do that, especially these past few months with their booking situations, but I think if they really take the time and start booking better, that Daniel Garcia could possibly be one of the faces of this company going forward.
Yes, he could.
And I think another reason why I actually like this match too is because both the wrestlers that were in the ring were actually technical style wrestlers, where they're doing a lot of the grappling, a lot of the holds, a lot of the maneuvers like that. And that's what I'm a real big fan of. I'm a big fan of the technical wrestling. I know you're more of the high flying wrestler with, you know, the Hardy
just
Boys,
Jim Hardy, man.
Things of that.
That's what attracted me to wrestling.
Exactly.
I
mean,
Boogie Man, because he ate.
Oh yeah.
But
that's and he was coming to get you. Breaking that clock over his head, looking like Flavor Flav. Oh man, our younger audience is not going to understand that reference whatsoever.
Yeah, Young Bucks, go back and look in the archives of WWE if you got some time. Like I used to, back in the day, and when I lived with my mom in high school, I would just watch documentaries of everything. Every wrestler I've ever wanted to know, I just watched it. I'm like, okay, I get it. I know. I feel it.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you one thing going on.
Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy. CM Punk, bro. I've watched CM Punk's like 6 times. I'm just like, wow, it's fucking
wild.
Yeah,
we even grew up watching CM Punk when he was debuting on Ring of Honor. That shows you how long we've been around for. We seen him debut on Ring of Honor.
Bro?
I mean, I'm not calling you young. hey, I'm in that same
Give me
boat,
a
man.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. But yeah, going off on like that little squirrel tangent, you know, we've been, you know, it's been crazy because, like you said, watching that.
We were fans before we were friends, which is.
Yeah.
Fucking cool.
Yeah.
We started just snowballing and even more like just throwing shit at each other.
Exactly. And it's just like and especially like what you said with the documentaries, if you haven't given it a chance, I know I think they're in their final season this year, but if you have any access to the channel Vice. They have a show called Dark Side of the Ring.
You have any access to Peacock? Just log into it and just hours upon hours.
Oh yeah,
man, it's just wild. There's a few shows I want to go back and rewatch.
I'll also send you a link also on after we're done recording of Dark Side of the Ring, where it's the Chris Benoit. Story, and it's a two-parter.
Yes, definitely.
Deserving of a watch, and it's actually available on their YouTube channel in full, so I'll be able to find that pretty easy for you. But anyways, going back to AEW, the last match of any note for Saturday's episode cross between Rampage and Collision was Brody King defeating Eddie Kingston in the main event. in another Continental Classic tournament match. I felt like this match was what AEW actually needed to end that show off right, even though you knew it wasn't going to get the ratings because Survivor Series was on at the same time.
Oh, Survivor Series, I'm sorry.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because
I like the wrestlers in AEW. I'm starting to actually be, unfortunately, become a more AEW fan than I am WWE. Because I mean, keep seeing more, and I'm watching more AEW than I am WWE. But
well, that is that. But sometimes it's hit and miss too. I mean, sometimes one show could be better at one point in time, and you turn over to the next show, and you get hooked onto that show for a minute, and then you go back to the other show, and you start getting hooked on that one for a minute. I mean, it's definitely,
it's like a back and forth battle.
Yeah, it definitely is. And unfortunately, sometimes you know the pay per view event will always draw the bigger view because it's definitely more exciting and more entertaining than a weekly show. But I'm not saying that the combination of the Rampage and Collision shows was by all means a perfect show. It was probably one of the best shows that they could possibly produce given the circumstances. But this was, and I think this match right here was probably one of the most physical matches of the night. It would have made Big E proud, and he would have been saying it's big meaty men slapping me. That's what he would have said, because they was just exchanging blows and it was getting really physical. Definitely a great match to go home with on that show. It definitely got the crowd going with all the blows and with all the physicality of both superstars. And they gave it their all for at least 20 minutes. So, I mean, it was a good way to wrap up the show for them. It all ended when Brody King hit the powerbomb on Eddie Kingston and covered him up for a three count. Got a much needed 3 points in that tournament for him.
Well, we got a couple more kittens today, guys.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, come on. Let go of my shirts. Smokey, and I'm not sure what to name this one yet. So. Come bro. I was on a mission to get one today. I came home with two. I'm sleeping outside, and that's what I was told. You can't send me to go get one. You just can't.
Exactly.
Okay,
we are
Smokey,
moving on from Rampage and Collision to AEW's flagship show, AEW Dynamite. This past Dynamite,
that was seen... okay. The thing I'm thinking of was on Dynamite this week.
Oh yeah, I think we're thinking of the same thing, and that's going to be a pretty good discussion going forward. On this past week, Dynamite, we've seen a total of 3 Continental Classic matches, including the opening match of the show, which seen Jon Moxley defeat Jay Lethal. In that match, Jon Moxley tweaked his knee a little bit, doing a tope suicida, and Lethal tried taking advantage of that by targeting his knee. Do you think that, you know, that knee going forward could be a problem for Moxley? Probably develop into maybe a more serious injury maybe going forward.
That, but you could also take it as like a
storyline too. Yeah, it could be too.
He
mean
hurt. He could get hurt.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Take some time off because of the holidays. And I'm not even gonna lie to you, that's exactly what I'd fucking do.
Exactly. I mean, going forward, I mean, I know that this is
He's 40 something?
Late 30s, I think.
Oh, a late 30s. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's not too old, but then again, he does have, you know, a kid and he is married to Renee Paquette. So,
yeah. Well, Renee Young, but.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Renee Young, as she was known in WWE.
That's what I knew her by. So,
yeah. But yeah. So, I think maybe moving forward, we could see either Moxley, like you said, either take some time off, get probably maybe eliminated in this tournament. Based on points, because it is a point system tournament. Or we could possibly see him even winning it all, maybe, and becoming the first ever Continental Champion.
Motherfucking yes.
But I think this match could have been a little bit better. I think we all knew as soon as we seen the card for this match that there was no way that Jay Lethal was going to win. I just wish that they would have made it more a little bit more of a back and forth.
More between believable? Lethal.
Make it seem like Lethal actually had a chance, kind of like what we had with that
The Undertaker and Jeff Hardy. Wait, like one of those. Like I was just like, I wanted well, Jeff to win, but he kept just like getting knocked fuck over.
Or I was even gonna make it even a comparison to the Zoe Stark and Rhea Ripley fight that we had at Survivor Series, where this, you know, you actually had that moment for a second where you're like, hey, you know, or that Gunther versus the Miz, where it's like, hey, Miz actually might win this, you know. And I don't think we've seen really any of that between Lethal
we don't get
and
to see,
Moxley.
It's not, I gotta be honest, we don't see that very often anymore, like at
no,
all.
We don't. No, we don't. And the only time that I think we really see in AEW is the situations where we have Orange Cassidy getting his ass kicked for like 10 minutes straight, then mounting a comeback for like 2 minutes, and then hitting someone with an orange punch like 3 times and then covering him for a pin. That's like the only time we really see it, and it's stupid. But I think so far, for tournament-wise matches, it had to be one of the most disappointing matches because of that fact.
Yeah, I think so.
The next match of the night was another Continental Classic that seen Roosh defeat Mark Briscoe. This match, honestly, was a hell of a lot better match than the Lethal and Moxley match.
I'm not going to lie. I think I picked up one or two matches on Wednesday, and then like I had to go to work, so I don't I don't even think I looked it up either.
Hey man, it's all
I'm
right.
Not even gonna lie. I don't even think I looked it up.
I'm just gonna say this match was a lot more competitive and a lot more hard hitting. It just seemed like both these competitors wanted it a little bit more. And I think moving forward in the tournament, it was the right decision to have Roosh pick up the 3 points and this win. And now the only people in this tournament so far to have 0 points is Jay Lethal and Mark Briscoe. And I think they face each other coming up pretty soon. So someone's going to have to win. Someone's going to have to lose. And I think it doesn't really mean anything except for bragging rights.
Who's better, but, basically?
Yeah, but who's better, basically? I mean, is this going to be someone picking up 3 points and someone's going to be going home winless? Do you think – I just want to know your thoughts. Is AEW
yes,
doing
the
right thing?
Yes, the squirrel is still running on the – treadmill in my head.
Is AEW doing the right thing and having a tournament to decide who's going to win that championship, specifically since it is going to be the first winner of that championship?
I mean, yeah, you can't, you gotta make it. I don't really want to use that reference, but I might. It's like a Squid Games type of deal.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
if you get eliminated, you're out. I mean, that's about it. And then whoever's the last two, fight it out. And again, fight to the death, I guess.
I mean, I just like it that they just didn't have it like just two random people just out of the blue. Like, hey, we're pushing this guy pretty hard recently. And we're pushing this guy too. Why not have these two fight it out for the championship? I'm glad that they didn't do it like Swerve and Hangman Page again, and then for this championship. You know, I'm actually glad that they're actually taking the time and doing it right. And I hope that this tournament, even though it does end December 30th, does get a little bit more traction, does get the viewers invested into it, and does draw in the crowd, because I think that this championship right here, I mean, I know I said last week that the international championship was going to be more of the AEW's equivalent to the world heavyweight championship with WWE, with Seth Rollins. But now with this tournament, I think that that's what they're trying to do for this continental championship, is to make it like the world heavyweight and have someone with a lot of prestige win it. Also, during Dynamite, it was
announced.
You're
making me think.
Exactly, man. During Dynamite, it was also announced that Sting's final match will be on March 3rd, 2024 at Revolution in Greensboro, North Carolina. Who do you think the Icon's going to face in his final match?
Man, I don't know.
I already have my pick. But I
Who
mean,
would be my dream pick would be like way back in the day, like he used to. You would just eliminate left and right. Let me hear what you got, because I can't tell you because I don't know.
I said it once, I said it before. I mean, this is my hill that I'm dying on because you died on your CM Punk hill and you were correct.
Yeah, I was correct.
So I'm just throwing this shout out into the universe. It's Darby Allin. It's got to be Darby Allin.
Boom. Hey. Mic drop.
Boom. I
So,
it has to
oh
be.
my God, bro, no way.
Especially with
You just triggered something in my head, like the Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. I mean, come on.
I mean, why else do you have Ric Flair sign for a multi-year contract? I mean, yeah, I know Darby's not the flashy guy that Ric Flair is, and he never will be, and that's not him. But I could see him being like a more of a manager to Darby and getting him that heel turn, maybe put some stuff in his head, because it's Ric Flair. Ric Flair is
I'm
gonna
Rick motherfucking
turn,
Flair.
he's gonna turn on whoever he wants to,
My stepdad is like a wild, insanely good, like Ric Flair.
Oh, I seen that the picture that you showed me over
No,
Halloween. Yeah.
he has his own promos. One of
Oh
these times,
shit.
I'm gonna have to like figure out how to get him on here,
Hey,
because he's
that'd be
old
awesome.
school. He don't know how to use a damn computer.
Kind
Oh, what are you biting me for?
like Ric Flair himself.
Damn
We
cat's biting me.
also seen a different kind of promo this past Wednesday night out of MJF, where he praised Samoa Joe, his opponent, at World's End on December 30th. MJF was later attacked, with Samoa Joe making the save on the AEW champion. And of course, the attacker was unknown because he was wearing the devil's mask.
What if it's
Who?
Mr. Anderson?
Hey, no lie, we'll get into that a little later on
I just
because
pulled that out of nowhere.
I actually have something revolving around him that was actually said by Tony Storm. Actually, I'll just say it right now since we're talking about it. Tony Storm was cutting a promo, the AEW Women's Champion, and she mentioned something about having a Kennedy. Could Mr. Kennedy slash Anderson be headed to AEW?
Please, please, please don't do that to me, because I love that weird. I loved him. He was
I mean,
such an a-hole.
it would also raise the question of what would he be doing with Toni Storm, since she already has the Butler and Luther. Where would Mr. Kennedy fit in all this?
Oh,
Maybe
they'd
like a
figure it
bodyguard,
out.
maybe like a bodyguard type situation. Who knows? I mean, he was really good, like what we said before with Aces and Eights. He was good as an individual wrestler too. I mean,
I loved
he
it,
was just good
man.
all around. He was just really good all around. So, I mean, that would definitely make you wonder. But yeah, that miss goes back to like what I was saying. Who could be the devil? I mean, maybe Mr. Anderson. Who knows? Mr. Kennedy,
Okay, so
Mr. Anderson.
what is the AEW's roster? We can,
I
or the
mean, you
main,
had.
the who do you think it would be?
I mean,
That is that's in the
honestly,
AEW roster.
I'm not going someone with AEW roster. I mean, I'm going with what I told you earlier this week. I mean, what would be pretty cool. I mean, what I think is, you had MJF once quote CM Punk by saying, the greatest trick that ever the devil ever played was making people believe that he didn't exist. And we already know that CM Punk's with WWE. Well, there's been a last name in the wrestling industry that has been pretty much erased from the history books due to the situation of what happened. And I'm thinking that I know he's been training. I know he had an interview saying that he wants to wrestle in AEW probably one point in time in his career. I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, I don't think it's true, but I think we might be hearing Our Lady's Peace is whatever be played in an arena for the first time in 15, 16 years, and it'll be David Benoit, the son of Chris Benoit.
Ooh, that'd be
pretty that would be, but I think he's still a little too green right now. I know he was training a few years ago, running a few independent promotions, going through a few independent promotions up in Canada. So, I mean, I wouldn't say never. But I think, honestly, for the pop-wise, I think it'd probably be Wardlow or someone of that nature, because the simple fact is that Wardlow said that he was going to take everything from MJF. And to go along with this Samoa Joe and MJF pay-per-view event, I mean, that pay-per-view event, a match coming up at World's End on December 30th, do you see Samoa Joe defeating MJF since MJF's contract is up in two days after that event?
What if he just drops the belt on his last day in the ring, just be like, here, come get it, and just drops it?
I mean, if he doesn't resign with AEW, do you
see I think he's gonna resign though. Like, you know,
yeah,
you
I think. Know. Well, I think he is too, but we'll get into that a little later on. But yeah, I think something tells me that he's gonna resign too. Next match that we the next actual match we've seen Wardlow in another squash match defeating AR Fox in a match that had to be stopped by referee. I mean, all I'm going to say is that lately it seems like AEW has been having 2 to 3 squash matches an episode per week for whatever TV show that they're running. I don't like it. I mean, I understand that you want to show, especially now, Wardlow's dominance over the roster and that he wants to take everything away from MJF. I think there's a better way to do it, though. And
that's very true.
I'm just getting tired. I'm just getting tired of all the squash matches. It seems like, for me, it seems like if booking doesn't know what to do with someone that's coming back from injury or coming back in general, that they're just going to do a squash match. And it just sucks because you're expecting it. And I don't know if, you know, if I was someone in the locker room and I was told, hey, booking has a squash match for you tonight. All right, cool. Next week comes and they still say that. I'm like, all right, third week, I'm like, dude, come on, I gotta get a different match. Come on now.
Well, after dude, the second one, yeah, after the second one, I'd be like, yo, I'm not doing that unless you give me this.
Exactly, like, unless you promise me something like at the next pay per view.
No, event, fuck that. Don't promise me it. You're gonna give me it because I'm not getting shit on for nothing.
Exactly. And do you think, since, you know, Wardlow is doing this Reign of Havoc, that he'll probably interfere in the Samoa Joe MJF match at World's End, possibly costing MJF that championship?
Possibly.
Yeah, I think something could possibly go down too. I mean, I would never say never, but
I mean, just... hey, hell froze over, so
yes, it did. Yes, it did. I mean, I mean, I think it's about close to freezing over anyways, because all right,
so
hell, Michigan.
You know what I'm gonna say? And I said it to a buddy of mine yesterday, and I told him I was going to say it today on the show. If CM Punk either beats Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins at Mania, I will get a Pepsi tattoo with Chicago Skyline in it. And then I will try my best to find him and hunt him down to get his autograph on my leg.
Damn, that's some commitment right there.
That is some commitment. I'm a CM Punk ride or die. I don't care.
All right. Well, we got a match that was announced at Dynamite that you might have some interest of, and it was in a promo where we seen Christian Cage respond to Adam Copeland's TNT Championship Challenge set for December 6th in Montreal, Canada.
The Montreal screw job.
Exactly.
That's the wrestling brain for you.
Exactly. Yes, it is. But Christian Cage tried talking some sense into Adam Copeland, trying to manipulate him by wanting to join forces one last time for Copeland's late mother. Copeland responded by giving Cage a low blow before he left the ring. Copeland told Cage that, "I don't care, you know, you better shine that up nice and good. I don't even care if you sleep with that belt, because next week she's coming home with me." Then proceeds to hit Christian with his own words and told him to, quote unquote, "go fuck yourself."
I actually watched that on my phone. I was like, bro, that's fucking wild.
And it's kind of funny because, I mean, if you look at it, he actually kind of subliminally threw shade at Logan Paul right there too for his pictures with the United States Championship. If you look at it, because he's like, I don't care if you sleep with it.
Logan Paul is a wild cat, and he's going to be so.
But yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm actually excited for this match, and actually I hope it lives up to the hype.
Yes, it needs to. I'm going to try to ring into it next week, today? Friday?
It'll be next week, yeah.
Yeah, my brain's all over, man. Third shift.
Oh, you're good. Not just that, but we also had that little bit of a break, too, from recording sessions because we took that normal recording off for Thanksgiving and recorded a little early.
We did.
We're trying to get back into the groove of things. So.
I need to get a steady schedule is what I need to get.
I see this feud actually lasting a little bit longer than this match right now.
Yeah, I think he's going to kick his ass or somebody's going to interfere or some shit. Exactly. Like that.
I think
there's two ways this could go. He wins the belt and Christian gets all pissed off and comes back and tries to take it back and wins it. And it goes on for one or two more matches. Or somebody interferes, Edge loses, aka Adam Copeland. Mm-hmm. He loses and then like a couple more matches, he takes it back and says, fuck off, dude.
I honestly think, like you said, I think it's going to be the latter one where Edge ends up losing because of outside interference. And I think that it's actually going to finish probably at World's End, the pay-per-view event.
Yeah, I didn't know which pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah, it's all right because they have a few of them. And besides Full Gear, All In, All Out, those are the only ones that I actually remember off the top of my head. And yeah, so this one, it's going to end there where Adam Copeland ends up getting a TNT championship. And it's going to be different because this is definitely a homecoming for both Christian and Adam Copeland with this match taking place in Montreal. And I expect that this match will probably tear the roof off of the stadium and definitely be the main event for sure.
I think it will be.
And the last match of note for this week's Dynamite was another Continental Classic match where we've seen Swerve Strickland pull off an upset and defeat Jay White. I mean, that's just impressive right there because Swerve Strickland defeated someone that was just up against MJF for that AEW championship, and he defeated Hangman Adam Page twice, who was a former AEW champion himself. I mean, like I said, it seems like they're trying to make this championship actually mean something, and they're giving Swerve that push, and it seems like he's riding that wave of momentum right now, and I think that's actually a good thing.
Ride that wave exactly. All the way out.
And like I said last show that we recorded at Full Gear, Swerve Strickland definitely earned my respect from that Texas death match that he was a part of. And I think that if there's any wrestler that deserves that push and maybe deserves somewhat of a championship, is Swerve Strickland. Like I said before, he's going to be holding a championship gold at some point in time. What championship it is, I don't know, but I think it's going to happen pretty soon. And I think that this is probably the best opportunity for him is right here in this tournament to really show that, hey, he's this guy going forward that can be a championship winner. He can hold championship gold and hold it and really hold himself in the ring.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, man. 100%.
And especially given Jay White's stats over in New Japan when he was part of New Japan, he was a former IWGP United States champion, a former IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. So he's definitely had the accolades over in Japan too. So, I mean, this win is no small feat for Swerve Strickland going forward.
I want to see that this feud go on a little, I want to see it. I want to see more. I want to be like, I don't know how to put it.
You want
I
you.
want oh shit moments, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like the like not just like the physicality of it, but
Yes.
also the moments where like these spots are just crazy spots, where it could be like a high flying maneuver, or it
Yeah.
could be that big move, even if it's just the standard wrestling maneuver where it's like, oh shit, this is awesome type shit, where they're
If it's like a
exchanging.
spear and he like jumped out of the way at the last second and he's like, yeah,
Or
I like that.
even where you're getting like those reversals and the holds and stuff like that, where it's going back and forth, and then finally someone gets the momentum and does like a power bomb or something, I mean,
I mean,
definitely leaves
yes.
you wanting a little bit more.
I always want more because that's what I grew up with. That's
Oh
the
yeah, I
bad.
mean,
When Vince
we grew up
McMahon,
in.
quote unquote, died, I was roped in for the next many, many years.
Oh, well, I mean, they had. I remember seeing that episode. Oddly enough, that you said that, and then I
Because that one
remember
burned a hole in my brain because I'm like,
well,
how
not
did
just
he
that,
escape?
but not just that, but we never got a clear finish to that storyline because, as again, we're mentioning his name for the third time on this podcast today, Chris Benoit. That entire Chris Benoit situation happened a week after, and Vince McMahon had to come out of his kayfabe death and address that situation, and we never got a clear finish or a clear definite ending to that storyline
Yep.
because they had to pull it early. We are moving on to other wrestling news. As we mentioned before, with what we were talking about with MJF and his contract expiring on January 1st, rumors have said that MJF has quietly signed an extension with AEW that would be good
Told
until
ya.
2027. No confirmed reports from either side have been said
Well, I've
that
confirmed it.
Nikon. Yeah,
I've confirmed it.
have said that contract negotiations are even going on. Do you think with Punk going to WWE, do you see MJF possibly re-signing with AEW, giving their personal beef in real life and then their beef in the ring too, with Punk saying that he had the real AEW championship?
Punk did have
Or
that a real AEW championship. Okay, I'm a Punk supporter. I'm a Punk dude. I'm always gonna be Punk. He had it, damn it. He won. They're getting pissed off. I don't really remember the feud, not gonna lie.
Well, it happened because CM Punk got injured and he had to vacate his championship, and MJF ended up winning the vacated
That's
championship.
right. That's
And
right.
then
That's right.
Punk came back from injury and he said that he never lost it, so he's the real
Well,
AEW champion.
he didn't lose it. He had to relinquish it.
Exactly.
So
Yeah.
why can't he get a chance to come back and get his title back?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I've seen both sides to it. I mean, but the way he did it, though, I think he could have went a different route. I think that's what probably also rubbed a lot of people wrong in the back locker room too, was the way he did it during his promo. But yeah, speaking of Punk, like you mentioned earlier in the show, also, could we see AJ Lee make her appearance back in a WWE?
I hope so. That'd be fucking awesome.
Do you think that if she does come back, that she will return at the Royal Rumble and be a surprise entrance at the Rumble?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's where we're heading to, is if she does return, she will be a surprise entrant. But I am also throwing another curveball into the situation. Another possible WWE return could also probably be at the Royal Rumble. as we could possibly see, Mercedes Moné, formerly known as Sasha Banks, return to the WWE, given that Punk has mended his burnt bridges between him and a lot of the locker room. Could Sasha Banks be next, since Nick Khan is the new CEO and Triple H is head of creative?
Yeah.
I mean, it would also set up nicely for her, especially if they want to bring her back and have her be a face. It could set up nicely for the Boston Hug connection to reunite and have her and Bayley team up for the tag division again.
Well, this is very true. Ooh, I like that. Yeah. I really like that one.
Because they were champions at one point in time. They lost that WrestleMania 35 to the Iconics.
I got kitties.
I mean, especially with Sasha Banks, she was given hints that she might sign with AEW. She might stay with New Japan, but she said she wasn't going to sign a new contract for anywhere until the start of the new year. So given this situation with AJ Lee, she could possibly return, and Sasha Banks could possibly return. We never know. Either way, it's going to boost up that women's division tenfold. But then again, if I am Jade Cargill in that situation, I'm wondering, hey, where am I fitting in this entire picture? Because I just got signed, and they still haven't debuted me.
I figured out how to share sound on here.
Uh-oh.
I've listened to this song so many times this week. It's unfucking real.
He is back. Hey, you're good, man. You're good. I think lastly of any news of any note that this has come out this past week is QT Marshall of The Factory will be leaving AEW at the end of the year. We all know that Marshall and Cody Rhodes are good friends and even run the Nightmare Factory Wrestling School in Atlanta, Georgia. Could this make another AEW manager/wrestler jump ship from AEW to WWE?
Probably. Well, you got Cody Rhodes. I mean, he knows exactly what he's doing and what he wants and what's moving and what's not.
So oh, yeah. I mean, he's like, definitely.
Hey, come over here and we'll hook you up with this.
Not just that, but I mean, we've seen that side of Cody ever since he was an EVP at AEW, and we've seen how he conducted business and how he was given interviews with the likes of Chris Van Vliet and how he was scouting the wrestling industry altogether. I mean, he was watching people have these matches, not only in WWE, but he was also watching them in New Japan, any local independent promotions. He was making trips out to those shows, watching those. So he definitely has his finger on the pulse of what's going on. So I think that him and QT, since they do run that wrestling school in Atlanta, I think that they are real familiar with what's going on right now. I don't necessarily see QT getting in the ring, per se, because I don't think he has that ability anymore. I know he's had injuries in the past that have limited him to in-ring action, but I definitely could see him being more of a producer, maybe backstage, maybe, you know, a scout or something, or maybe at the training facility, training some of these younger superstars, getting them ring ready, like Jade Cargill. I mean, it only makes sense. I mean, especially if you want that veteran presence at the performance center. So it definitely makes a lot of sense for me.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, man. I think that just about does it for this week's episode, Jobber Nation. Got anything else to add, Face?
No. I got fat over Thanksgiving, but that's about it.
I mean, I think we all did, man. I mean, we had a good time. Like I said at the beginning of the show, we hope that Jobber Nation, for those who celebrate Thanksgiving, had a great Thanksgiving weekend. And we hope you spent a lot of great time with your friends, families, relatives, and gave us a good listen. And we are currently giving you, we're going to give you guys a little behind the scenes update. We are working behind the scenes on something special, hopefully dropping January 1st for Jobber Nation. We are still figuring out a few things revolving that, but once we figure out those things, we are
excited. That's a learning curve. That's what it is.
It definitely is. It definitely is. But it's, hey, it's something that we're slowly learning. So we're pretty excited for that to launch. Hopefully, like we said, we have a tentative date of January 1st for launch for that. And we'll give more updates as they become available. Like always, this episode is sponsored by W.GG. Their Black Friday sale ended on Sunday, but if you are unable to pick up a starter kit or a new shaker or even a tub of your favorite flavor, don't worry, because we still have you covered. Just use the code NATION2023 at checkout and receive 10% off of your entire order. So you still got time to save on some of your orders. It's not going to be as big as that Black Friday sale was, but hey, still 10% off. Kitty. So until next time, Jobber Nation, this has been Vogel and the face who runs the place, Tyler Face, saying peace.